Heavenly Father, as we gather this night, Lord Jesus, we come thankful, Lord. And Lord, we come seeking to be in your presence, Lord, with humility, to learn from our King. Father God, that you would indeed prepare us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be pure and holy, tried and true. Lord Jesus, when you prayed for your disciples, you asked for them to be sanctified and to be sanctified by your word, for your word is truth. Father God, I would pray and ask that you help each and every single one of us to hunger for your word. Lord, to desire more of you, to desire to know you more. That, Lord, we could live for you with heart, mind, soul, strength, with all of ourselves, Lord. Father, that we would desire you to increase and us to decrease. Lord, we thank you for the gift to gather in this place. Help us to not take it for granted, Lord. Thank you for the gift of prayer we were able to have this night, Lord, and worship unto you. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that your Spirit teaches us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement it is. Thank you for the conviction you will bring this night through the preaching of your word. Thank you for the encouragement you will bring. Thank you for the manna that is the word of God. Lord, I ask you to help us to be that salt and light that you need amidst these times. Lord, thank you for ordaining this time for us to be here. Give me the words that are needed for your people. Lord, that they would be fed, that they would be tended to. Father, I thank you and am humbled for the gift to serve your people in this capacity. Lord, I pray for fellow under-shepherds, Lord, within this body, Lord, and beyond, Lord, to just cherish that gift you give us, Lord, this calling. Lord, thank you. Father, have your way this night. And Lord, I would pray that how you speak to each and every single person here, we wouldn't passively engage with your word, but actively. That we would never be a people of religion or tradition, but of surrender to the living, powerful word that is the word of God. Letting you mold us, letting you refine us. And Lord, knowing we never do arrive, Lord, that we stay humble, that we stay hungry, and that we continue to seek you. Lord, the text we're going into, we're reminded of the comfort and safety we have in you when evil radiates and permeates around us. Lord, the world we are in has evil. Lord, we see darkness moving in victorious ways, yet, Lord, we know that victory is temporal. And we know the eternal victory has been won at the cross. Lord, I would ask you to encourage my brothers and sisters this night. Speak unto them as only you can. Lord, here I am. Speak through me, please. And minister to your sheep. Minister unto me, Lord. Teach us for your glory. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. So last week we gathered and we were in Psalm 93, and remember this portion of Psalms where we are, we're working through this portion right now that all of it is pointing, in many of them as we get up to 100, to his sovereignty, to his reign, to his rule, and we're going to be reminded of this over and over again. And the last week's Psalm really reminded us of the sovereignty of God, reminded us that when the trials come, when the flood waters are coming, we serve the God who's over all of that, for he is the God of creation. I love verses 3 and 4 of last week's psalm. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. And how it ended, your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. This portion of Psalms, it's such encouragement for us, because it really reminds us of the God we serve, how great he is, how true he is, how faithful he is. And I want to remind you as we delve into this particular portion, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Last week, the question for us with the charge, as we look to his sovereignty, as we look to his rule, as we look to his reign, we were challenged to think about two things. Where do I need to surrender, Lord? And what would you have me do with this? Because if the word is living and powerful, every time we gather to get in the word, those are two questions that really should always come back. What do I need to surrender? And what would you have me do? And it's not about doing for works. It's about doing for obedience unto the Lord God Almighty. It's about revering, and that revering moves us to action, propels us to obedience, because you know who he is and who we're not. And it drives us forward. So tonight we're going to work through Psalm 94. When we look at this psalm, we see the title doesn't give us who it is. We don't get any context for this. And what's interesting is you go through these psalms that are pointing to the sovereignty, are pointing to the reign of our Lord as we go through this and praise really through 100, and we're not going to see who it is. For most of the psalms we've been going through, you see a psalm of David, a psalm of Asaph. We see who this psalm is, not these. And I think it's kind of interesting. This is just my own little thing as I study these and look at these. It's like the Lord's like, you know, this is just straight from me. The great I am, the Lord God Almighty. And this Psalm 94, as we go through this text, if I had to give this text a title, if I had to say, what's the title of tonight's message? It would be Facing Evil. Facing Evil. Because as we go through this text, we're going to see where it starts. We're going to see this plea. We're going to see this idea of there's tension with an enemy. And we're going to see how they're acting, how evil is permeating. And we're going to see, even amidst evil, even when facing evil, guess who still reigns and rules? The Lord God Almighty. Do you recall that when you look at things? Don't get lost on the news scroll when you're on the phone, because if you look at it, boy, it can be really depressing sometimes, because you just go and it's just sad story, horrible story, tragic story, horrible story. In the midst of all that, though, we know who's still on the throne. And we as children of God should be moving for the believers, whatever happened went down, that the body of Christ there stand forth boldly for him. Now, with categorizing this psalm, Psalm 94, it goes under two bits. We know these are the royal psalms, so we're in a section of royal psalms within the scripture right now as we're working through psalms. And this is also a lamenting psalm. And we're going to see communal lamenting, and then we're going to see as it moves on, it moves to some individual lamenting. So as we look at this again, it's a lamenting psalm, it's a royal psalm, and within it, it's all pointing towards the authority of the Lord God Almighty, his sovereignty. And saints, as we work through this text, there should be a great comfort we get amidst seeing evil advance. Is evil advancing in our culture right now? What do we think? All right, we're all in agreement there. This is what I saw when I asked that for most people. Not the slow head nod. That's when you know it's real, when you see the bobblehead. Yeah. Okay. And guess who still reigns amidst that evil moving forward? The Lord God Almighty. Amen, whoever said that. Yes. okay? So let's walk through this text together and see how our mighty King would speak unto us. Verse 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Hebrew poetic element of repetition takes place right away at the onset of this one. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs. There's this idea starting right away that, oh, you know, from the first time in Psalms we saw, oh, I spent almost a whole night on that, oh, because it's good. There's so much emotion captured within that that goes before the Lord, the covenant name of the Lord. O Yahweh God, to whom vengeance belongs. Repeating, God, to whom vengeance belongs, and then asking God, shine forth. Go forth. Because vengeance is yours. Now notice, this doesn't say, oh, Lord God, to whom revenge belongs. It doesn't say that. And there's a difference. Because I think sometimes if we're real, we can say, oh, the Lord's going to vindicate. I want the Lord to have vengeance. But in our heart, you are brewing revenge. Why I ought to hurt. You know, that's where you get, right? You get to this place where you're ready to take it into your own hands. But notice where the psalmist comes. Vengeance. Because vengeance points to justice. Revenge points to fleshly passion. You're wronged in both cases. But our heart, when we are struck, has to be in the right posture. As we go to the Lord. Not the posture saying, I want revenge. I want to see them destroyed, Lord. No, 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 no. Settle down, you imprecatory psalmist. And come with that heart remembering vengeance belongs to the Lord. In Isaiah 59, he has the armor of God. When we look at the armor of God coming to us, and when we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, when the armor of God begins, what do we see? Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. Nope. Be strong in the Lord. Thank you. And in the power of his might. It's not us. It's all him. He's the one who does it. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Making sure you're memorizing. Good. So the psalm starts there with his character, his grace, his mercy. It belongs to you, Lord. And asking, shine forth. Move, Lord. Be you. Verse 2, rise up. O judge the earth. Render punishment to the proud. The reality of this, there's tribulation going on. There's trial. There's evil around. And it's not then just, okay, well, let me just put my hands up. I give up. No, Lord, move your hand, Lord. Vengeance is yours, Lord. Move, Lord. Lord, rise up. Judge the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Because if the proud are prevailing, pride is never for the Lord God Almighty. What does pride look to? Me, 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 me. It's contrary to the Lord. And then the question that comes in those circumstances, Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? This is a raw start. Now, for us, I would always challenge whenever we see anything that hints at that imprecatory tone of get them, even leaving it in the vengeance of the Lord, we know the full counsel of the Word of God, and we have Jesus telling us, love our enemies. Let us start with prayers for salvation. When we've been wronged, when we've been hurt, when we've had that blow come, may it be the heart of Lord, change them. I remember when I was a school administrator, I had a student at the school that I worked at who had posted a picture of me on social media and put racial slurs all under it. And it was brought to my attention, and all the whole faculty, they were ready. They're like, he's going. And they didn't like this kid. They were overjoyed. He's going to be kicked out for good. And the Lord said, this is a chance to show the gospel. So I brought him to my office and just said, dude, what's going on? Why'd you put that picture of me? I mean, you could have first picked a nicer picture of me. And then two, why'd you write what you wrote under it? And he's there and I could see in his face. He's like, okay, this is it. I'm going to get kicked out. And I said, hey, let's hop in my Jeep. I had my Jeep then, Jeep life. I said, let's hop in my Jeep and let's go get lunch because we got some work to do. I forgive you. Let's go get lunch. That's got to be our heart when the jugular hits come. Forgiveness, praying for salvation. I just highlight that because we're not looking for the render punishment. Pray for salvation. Pray for heart change. In our time, pray for the church to be salt and light, that hearts can be changed. Amen? But take the raw and real to the Lord. Lord, help. And when you feel like the trial, the persecution's coming, guess what? Verse 3 is a great one. Take it to the Lord. How long? How long will the wicked? How long will the wicked triumph? When we take our how longs to the Lord God Almighty, we're secure and we're safe and we're better chances of not stumbling. When we take our how longs to the world, we act on our own and we're going to usually fall in sin. Because a how long in the presence of the Lord reminds you, I'm at the one who's in control. A how long in the presence of the world says, you take control. So remember, it's important where you put your how longs. It's important to have humility. And now, so the call goes to the Lord. These first three verses, it's the call to the Lord. And now we're going to see the people that are being described. And the way evil is going. And this gives us an insight of the way evil works today. It's the same thing. Look at verse 4. They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. The pattern, notice what we saw walk through here. Verse 4, it starts with words. They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. Begins with the words. It begins with words that either puff self up, words that come with attack. They're speaking these insolent things. They're workers going against the Lord God Almighty. And guess what the words talk about? How great I am. Not how great he is. Not how great the Lord God Almighty is. It's all about self. It's boasting in self. And what's interesting in that boasting in self, we see it in our culture today, the boast in self now, your boast in self builds you a following and suddenly you're a social media influencer. And then you're an expert. You don't need any credentials, but if you get enough followers, you're an expert. It starts with speech. Then from words then move to works. Words move to action. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. It's the heart of what we saw in Psalm 2. When they come together, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. It's that same heart. It's that heart of just, we got to destroy them. Destroy these people of God. Words, then action. These works, they're moving forth with that. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. So words to works to action. And who do they go to? The words and the works on the weak. It's interesting where they target. The weak. The widow, the stranger, the fatherless. They go after the weak. In our culture today, it's interesting if we think of the application with this, we see the words and then we see the works taking place. And where are those who go against God often going for? They're going for the weak, the vulnerable. Let's convince them to buy the lie. And if they buy the lie, more of them will buy the lie. Because it's taking what we know of the Lord God Almighty and putting it aside, forsaking it. Romans chapter 1, reminds us a little bit of that same pattern. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. This is verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, his invincible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The beauty of creation. There's no excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. When you're boasting of self, as we're reading in this psalm, it's a little hard to glorify the Lord as you're boasting of self. Because when you boast of self, you are God to yourself. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fool and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we know this chapter where it goes on. But it's the same idea when you look at what takes place there, because there's words first, then there are these works. And when you get to the end of that chapter, Romans chapter 1 at the end, I always find interesting that last verse, verse 32, where it points to the fact that not only are they doing these things, but they also then celebrate those who do it. Let me get back to Romans 1. Verse 32, we read there, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And when the words are going, then the works are going, and then they're going for the week. And guess what? That's where we get our affinity group culture, because you get your posse that's all with you. And they're all going together in that. And as they move forward in that, they land where we see in verse 7, yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Because in this disillusionment, they think, we're getting away with this. God doesn't see any of it, and God doesn't even get it. Because they make themselves God. It's the same culture we see when 2 Timothy 3 Timothy's getting the warning from Paul of the last days, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgivers, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. From such people, turn away. Because as we see that point being pointed to, and as we look at this, that's where they go. It's that heart that's just, no. And those are the ones that this psalmist is pointing to. And when you're so lost in that list that we see, when you're lost in the Galatians 5 works of the flesh, that's where you get to the point where you're so deceived, you're so blinded that you actually can say, the Lord doesn't see what I'm doing. The God of Jacob, he doesn't get what's going on. Understand there points to paying attention. It's not the same idea as we're thinking of comprehending. They're thinking, he doesn't care what's going on. Because when you think there's no God, you think you can just get away with anything. And then the psalmist comes forth with the truth. So we, verses 4-7, look at the people. Then verse 8, the truth gets put. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools. When will you be wise? Let's get that as a t-shirt and we all can just walk around wearing that. No. But notice where and how the psalmist level sets here. Verse 9, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? It's like, okay, hang on a second here. So you're going to tell me the God who made the ear, he doesn't hear? the God who gave the eyes, the God of creation, he doesn't see. You really think that's the case? That's a true reality. And it's also a beautiful application reminder. There is power in going back to creation. There is power in our discussions with people to go back to creation. Genesis 1:1, when we studied with Pastor David, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If that can't be swallowed and accepted, it's going to be a challenge to get through all of this. We can always go back to creation. So there's this idea, he created the air, he created the eyes, he's created over everything. No, he's paying attention. You're not getting away with this. It's a reminder to them, but boy, oh boy, is it also a reminder to us. Because there's times when you look at what's going on, you can be like, is God even paying attention right now? People can think that sometimes. Don't forget, yeah, he is. He is paying attention. He is aware. He is attentive to it. Look at what he says in verse 10. He who instructs, this idea instructing is pointing to chastening the nations, the Gentiles. Shall he not correct he who teaches man knowledge? It's like the one who has his hand over all of us. The one who brings correction, the one who refines us, the one who grows us. You really think he's not aware of what's going on? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. It's interesting when he, verse 10, he who teaches man knowledge, we know from Proverbs, men were working through that, the fear of the Lord, right? There's the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge is then that wisdom in action. And in that journey, there's a chastening, there's a refining, and he brings that. And this is pointing to the reality. You might think you're getting away with something, hands of evil, but you cannot outrun, you cannot outdo, you cannot outwit, you cannot trick the Lord God Almighty. You cannot. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. We see this quoted, actually. So where we were in Romans points to that a little bit, where they forgo the knowledge. But when we get to 1 Corinthians 3, we see this when Paul is exhorting and reminding them, focus on godly wisdom. Don't go with what the world's saying. This gets quoted. Look, in 1 Corinthians 3:18, we're going to look at that section. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. And notice what we saw earlier. What are they boasting in, these evil ones that the psalmist is writing in? Themselves. And this is where that futility comes from. And he says, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The Lord knows the thoughts of a man, that they are futile. We can't forget that the Lord knows our thoughts. It's like when we look in Jeremiah, that the passage that we know so many times we talk about, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Because when we think about this, the mind, these thoughts, guess what? The heart's going to play a role in them. And when we know that, then what does it say? Who can know it? Who can know it? The one that you think, that you said, the Lord doesn't see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. No, he does, and not only that. What? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord's aware. He's searching. He knows. He sees all, and he knows that they're futile. You can't outwit God. So don't try to go there. And then the psalmist now shifts to this place that gives encouragement And reminds us too of how we need to be with our relationship with the Lord. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. It puts this bit, well, there's a blessing. And this blessing is the same idea that we see, the same word that we see in Psalm 1. And where does that blessing come? Not walking, standing, or sitting in the world, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. When does he meditate on it? Day and night, right? And that's the blessing, anchoring in the word of God. So then we see here this instruct. Verse 10, the Hebrew for instruct, and verse 12, the Hebrew for instruct, point to the same word, chastening. Who loves to be chastened by the Lord? Raise your hand. Maybe you didn't hear me. Who loves to be chastened by the Lord? Raise your hand. You never see folks raise their hands on that one. But I remind us, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, going on to verse 4, Hebrews chapter 12, 4. You have not yet resisted in bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. There's a purpose behind this chastening. It's for our good, that we can be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Reality, but nevertheless, afterwards, on the other side, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It's a beautiful reminder that we see in that passage, and then we see here the psalmist in the midst of all the evil says, hey, you know where the blessing is going to come from? The one who takes the chastening of the Lord. And that chastening comes out of his law. And it reminds us that chastening isn't the punishments of the Lord, because the chastening is correction. The chastening is instruction. The chastening is guiding. The chastening is teaching. And he does it because he loves us. And notice what it does. It gives rest from the days of adversity. Because sometimes the evil that's around is part of that chastening. That he instructs us, he guides us, he teaches us, he refines us. And in saying, embrace the chastening, because blessings come from that. And I remind you, look at chastening as correction, instruction, guide, teaching. There's folks who love to say, well, the Lord, he's an evil, wicked punisher. No, no, no. It's not about that. It's about correction. It's about instruction. It's about guide. It's about teaching. That's why it's a father chastening a child. If a dad's heart is just, oh, let me punish you, little twerp, you're not really going to bear much fruit there. But if it's around, I love you, so I am going to instruct you. I am going to correct your pattern of behavior right now. I am going to guide you in the way in which you should go. I am going to teach you what you need to know. That's a very different setup, and that's what he does. And then the comfort of verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Another moment in the Psalms that reminds us of the importance of Israel. He's not done with Israel. He's not going to cast off his people. He's not going to forsake his inheritance, and then we get grafted in. But judgment will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. So we saw the call, then we saw the people, then we saw the truth. And then after that, he points to the Lord. Verse 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a question that we ask. That's a question that if evil's all around you, you're being persecuted for loving the Lord or whatever that evil may be that permeates in our culture. That's a question, remind yourself, take to the Lord and ask, who's going to do it? This is a question of authority. And boy, do we get an interesting answer with Matthew 28, because guess what? What did Jesus tell us? All authority is his. He says, go, therefore. And then what did he say? We looked at it Sunday. Lo, I'm with you always. There's a comfort. And this psalmist knew that comfort. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If the Lord hadn't been my help, it would have just been utter darkness. But the Lord was my help. And then reminding ourselves, and when we are facing evil, 18 and 19 are reminders that we should memorialize and write on our hearts. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. It's his mercy, because we're all guilty. We're all sinners. With the grace and mercy of Jesus. You're walking in that evil world. Your foot slips. His mercy catches you. It holds you. It sustains you. And the multitudes of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Feeling off balance is going to happen. When you're standing in this world, we stand on the rock of salvation. That's how we stand strong. But sometimes, if we're real, our standing, we're not fully remembering I'm on the rock. And what do you? You slip, you fall. But guess what? His mercy holds you up. Because sometimes that foot slips into sin. His mercy holds you up. That's why repentance and a life of repentance is so important. And then that idea, guess what? Anxieties and stressors will come in. And the psalmist here, in the multitude of my anxieties within me. But before you just say, okay, the anxieties are within me. Google, what do I do with anxiety? Well, don't Google that. I push out. Instead, your comforts delight my soul. Soul being the depth of my being. And what are the comforts? His word, worship, his spirit. So I love to say worship is a weapon. Sing unto the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord. Get into the word of God. Ask the spirit of God to teach you. And the spirit of God, who's also called comforter. And be comforted. And also called helper. Be helped. Be not afraid of the Holy Spirit. He is a person of the triune God. What's your relationship with the Spirit of God? Do you commune with the Spirit? Do you say, Spirit, teach me, Spirit, lead me, Spirit, comfort me, Spirit, guide me? I don't want to talk about the Spirit of God. Well, you're missing out, brother and sister. Don't let the world mess that up for you, that you think it's wacky or weird or all these things. Your comforts delight my soul. New Testament, full counsel, word of God. I will give you a comforter. I will not leave you orphans. Let those comforters delight your soul. And then the hope amidst evil. Verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? And that's an interesting thing, because this is that idea we saw at the end of Romans 1 where they condone those who do it. But this is pointing something and calling something that we see. Those who are doing the iniquity, they're using the law and adjusting the law to get away with it. We don't see that at all in culture today, do we? We do. I point that out because, brothers and sisters, what we face, realize it's nothing new. The enemy just keeps repackaging the same thing with different wrapping paper and bows. There was the old school wrapping paper, now it's the Amazon bags, and then whatever else, the enemy is just recycling and rewrapping in different means. But it's all the same. And when we see it, we can say, how is that going to work? Just like that. But then notice, look, verse 21, they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Timeless reality. Evil's around. They're going to manipulate power, laws, Election Day is on November 4th. I encourage you to engage with being civil servants. Just want to put that plug there, because evil's there. And that's why we engage as the bride of Christ, because guess what? We want to be salt and light. Being salt and light means standing for truth. Engage and cast votes for those who will allow the truth to continue going forward. The evil's still always there. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood, timeless reality. And a phrase I've loved of late, but the Lord, but the Lord has been my defense, because he's the one who's going to speak on my behalf, because vengeance is his, where the psalm began. And my God, the rock of my refuge. He's my security. He's my anchor. He has brought on them their own iniquity. There's judgment to come, and he's going to handle it, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. He's got it. He's got it. They can do what they want with the laws. They can do what they want, running forth their agenda. They can do what they want, coming after the innocent. But the Lord has been my defense and my God and the rock of my refuge. Brothers and sisters, amidst our culture today, which evil is rampant, darkness is rampant, is your verse 22 the truth for you? But the Lord, is he your defense? What does that look like? Well, it looks like I rely on the word of God. It looks like when the tempter or accuser, because that's who he is, he tempts you into sin, the enemy, and then once you fall in the sin, he accuses you, and you get stuck in the cycle, tempt, accuse, and you're running around like crazy. No, no, no. The Lord is my defense. It is written. That's why we commune in the word. That's why we memorize scripture. That's why we write it in our hearts that I would not sin against you, and that we're letting him defend, because it's his word. So is he your defense? Is he your God? I love that 22 points to this reality, because it's all personal. This is where that communal lament now goes individual. My defense, my God. Is he your God? And that's where you can't play religion. You can't, you know, for the youth, I love reminding them that you can't just, well, mom and dad love the Lord, so yeah, I'm a Christian. No, 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 no. What about you? Is he my God? Is he your God? And the rock of my refuge. Rock of salvation, and then my refuge. Because I'm under the shadow of the Almighty's wings. Verse 22, if that's one to sit and wrestle with, when the storm comes, when whatever the evil that you face hits you, what's your but the Lord? Because sometimes, if we're real, it would be, but the Lord has actually really been forgotten, because I've been just texting a lot of people, and okay. But the Lord has really not been at the forefront of my mind, because I just was thinking that maybe I'd find a TikTok that would speak to what's going on in my life. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. And one other piece with that verse has been, which means it's continual, which means it's already happening, which means how's your relationship and walk with God. Walk with his spirit. Walk with his word. The psalmist ends in hope because of the Lord, and it's the covenant name. That's why we evaluate our intimacy with God. That's why we're to deny ourselves daily. That's why it's a continual journey of surrender. You might read a lot, but do you do anything with what you're reading? Do you do anything with it, or are you just, it's all up here. Is it here? So that it goes like that. So it's action. And then verse 23, as we saw, points to that judgment that's going to come. And for us, I say, when we see the judgment that will come, we know it's coming. The great tribulation's coming. An eternal forever with or without God is coming. But for us, with this whole word of God, can we be a people who let that propel us to pray and to share who the Lord God Almighty is? Because again, we are called to be salt, to be light. Charge for this week is get right. Get right with God. Think of the areas. Where are the areas where that but the Lord has been my defense and my God and the rock of my refuge, other things have come in? Well, get right and live right. Get right and live right. And then be salt and be light. That's the charge to propel you into action. Get right and live right. Be salt and then be light. Engage with the Word of God. Engage with your brothers and sisters. Tarry in prayer. I know I keep talking about prayer, but saints, we're in Acts. Look through it. Prayer matters. What's your prayer life like? I think the enemy has a field day with people. He has people scared to pray, and it's a field day. Because as long as children of God are scared to pray or scared to come together in prayer or come up with excuses, he prevails. But boy, oh boy, does it quake when the children of God gather and pray. This is a prayer, this psalm. It's a prayer and praise. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, a call to shine forth. Putting the length of wickedness before him, reminding in his throne room that their words and their working, and they go after the weak, but there's a truth. They think they're getting away with it, but they're not. And you're going to chasten and deal with them. And we need to enjoy that chastening and your instructing and your teaching. And you're not going to forsake us. You're not going to cast us off. When our foot slips, your mercy is going to hold us up. The multitude of our anxieties, you're going to comfort and delight our souls. And they are manipulating everything, the law, the systems of this world, to gain advantage. But the Lord has been my defense and my God and the rock of my refuge. And judgment will come. And child of God, with the full counsel of word, that's when we add, help me be your salt. Help me be your light. And bring them to repentance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank you for the encouragement that comes through your word. Father, there is evil all around us, and you are on the throne. And Lord, I pray we seek to commune deeper with you, Lord, to stand on you as our true shelter. As that true rock, Lord God, as our defense. Lord, that we would look unto you. Father, this text reminds us the things we see, these are timeless realities. And may we never forget that the timeless realities are face to face with the timeless truth that God is on the throne. There is one way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be comforted in that. And Lord, may the mentions of judgment in this text propel us to tarry in prayer for the lost, to share the gospel, to stand for the truth of the word of God, to be the light in this world. Lord, I pray the way that you have spoken to each and every single one of us this night, we continue in prayer with you about these things. Lord, I know for myself, as we went through this text, Lord, you are reminding again. You opened the door of utterance that this body of believers would be a light on a hill. Lord, I pray that you help each and every single person take stock of their relationship with you, surrender, get things out of the way, come together to pray with one accord in one place. That, Lord, we boldly go forth, empowered by your Spirit, with the light that is the Word of God, and the hope that is found in Christ. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you for the body, the believers at this precious church. And Lord, I pray, give everyone travel mercies as they head from this place. And Lord, help us to continue communing with you on this text and the many other ways you've spoken to each of us this day and will speak to us tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Bless my brothers and sisters in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this. Amen. Have a great night.